are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And that was Brian Courtney Wilson with God is Kind, Our Father is Kind, I beg your pardon. And that leads us into our first conversation for this morning. We're speaking with Sister Banda as she speaks to us about God's design for sexual intimacy and how it relates to young women out there. Now, we know that sex is sacred, right? I hope we know that. But the world has distorted it into something casual and shameful, transactional, right? God designed sexual intimacy as a gift for covenant, not for confusion. For women, claiming the beauty of sex from a biblical perspective means unlearning lies and healing wounds and understanding the spiritual depth thereof. My sister, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Good morning, and how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, too.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us once again for another eye-opening conversation, a very interesting subject, one that, you know, as we just said, has been distorted in such a terrible way by media and, you know, different things. It's become such a casual thing. But what does the Bible say about God's design for sexual intimacy?
The Bible portrays God's design for sexual intimacy as a gift intended for within the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. And this intimacy act is seen as a way of a couple to experience oneness. At the same time, it's to create selfness, mutual desire, faithfulness, and safety and boundaries. For example, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28, and Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible is clear that God said, be fruitful and multiply.
Right.
By saying be fruitful and multiply, it doesn't mean sex should be done at the marriage for preserving. And for self, the boundaries, while sex is a source of and responsible behavior within the marriage, mm-hmm. to ensure physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being, no matter what our relationship status, because the very desire we can't control before marriage will be the very desire that haunts us even after marriage.
That's a very important point that a lot of people forget. I've heard people talking about how, you know, you must explore and experiment and try all these things before you get married and get locked down with one person. But it's like, do you think that you just turn it off once you get married? Once there's a ring on your finger, automatically you just switch it off?
Actually, the question should be, are you a physical lab that should be doing so many experiments?
Exactly.
Yes.
So how has culture twisted the meaning and the purpose of sex and sexuality?
It is to stand strong against the lies this culture throws our way. Mm-hmm. And instead learning to believe in sex as a powerful, meaningful, sacrificial, and ultimate controllable, may God give us the wisdom to recognize these lies. Mm-hmm. There are so many lies about sex. People believe that maybe a woman asks you for a sex, maybe that one is a whore, a harlot, but
right.
It's not like that.
Yeah.
And the men and the women are living their life shaped by this myth, not believing that they have the God-given power to control their sexual appetite. They remain enslaved to sin, in bondage to lust, and susceptible to addiction, which is exactly where the enemy wants us to remain.
Yes.
And by God's grace, we are here. We have everything we need to take charge of our sexual appetites by disciplining our minds, our hearts, and our body. And believe or not, that kind of control is for all of us to apply, no matter what our relationship status, because the very desire we can't control, those things that we can't control because of our sexual your beliefs and whatever, those things will remain even in our marriage, even the spiritual marriages, because most of us, we are sticking to some cultural beliefs, the myths that the world is believing in.
Our line is not very good right now. I'm not sure what the problem is, but you're breaking up a little bit. But as we're getting ready for to continue the conversation, so can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay, our line is breaking up a little bit, but hopefully we can get through the conversation without any more cuts. And so why is sexual intimacy powerful, not just physically, but also emotionally and spiritually? Why is it more than just a physical act?
Sexual intimacy is powerful, not just physically, but also emotionally and spiritually, due to its ability to foster deep connection, vulnerability, and shared experience. It can, for example, emotional intimacy, it enhanced connection. Sexual intimacy allows partners to explore their desires and fantasies, fostering a sense of shared vulnerability and closeness. It also increases trust. The act of being physical and physical and emotional open with the one person can build trust and security within relationship. It also releases emotions. For some, sex can be a way to release a pent up emotions and experience a sense of catharsis. And for spiritual connection, it merges energy. It merges energy. Some believe that sexual intimacy involves a merging of energy, creating connection.
My sister, I think we're going to take a short break right now. Let's take a short break because our network seems to be cutting in and out once again, but I really want us to continue on with this conversation. So we're going to try this again in just a minute. Let's take a short break and see if we can figure out what the issue is with that line. We're going to take a short break. Here's Gay the Vocal Band.
Love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe. That in thine ocean depths its flow may richer seekest me through pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain. That morn shall tearless be. O love that will not let me go. Cross that liftest up my head. That will not
Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's see if we can get our sister back on the line. We were just having a conversation about sacredness of intimacy, sexual intimacy. And so we're having this conversation. We had some interruptions in our network, so we are just trying to connect with her. Just give us one moment. All right, my sister, do we have you back on the line?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, I think this will be better. So you were speaking to us about why sexual intimacy is a powerful connection spiritually, in a spiritual sense, that it's not just a physical act. Please continue.
It also helps in spiritual oneness. In certain spiritual contexts, sex is viewed as a way to achieve a sense of unity and oneness, mirroring a divine and sacred union. And it also expresses love and trust. The sexual intimacy can be seen as a powerful expression of love, trust, and commitment within relationship. And beyond the physical, sex, it acts as energy exchange. It is believed that during sexual activity, there can be an exchange of energy between partners, which can have both positive and negative influence depending on the nature of the relationship and individual energies. And again, for sacred act, some traditions view sex as a sacred act within a committed relationship, emphasizing its potential for spiritual growth and deepening the bond between the partners. Mm-hmm. And the same, it's also a life-shaping impact. The profound impact of sex can extend beyond the physical and emotional, shaping the spiritual and the relational aspects of oneness. Mm. And it is important to note that the spiritual and emotional aspect of sexual intercourse can be deeply personal and vary based on individual beliefs and experience. Mm.
And what myths about sex do Christian women often need to unlearn?
When purity or modest culture is the name of the game, women can take on responsibility for the sin of those around them,
right,
imagining that they are culpable for others' wayward hearts. And on the flip side, men grow to view themselves as untrustworthy, uncontrollable, and primary sexual. Both of these images fall heartbreakingly short of God's healthy and beautiful intention for men and women. So instead of prescribing a strong sex drive exclusively to men, let's remember that sex is a gift from God, often enjoyed equally by both men and women. Let's do men and women a favor and start talking about female sexuality and the Christian culture.
That's very true, very true. And how can the church create safe spaces then for honest conversations about sexuality, especially, as you've said, you know, when we speak about modesty and purity and all of that, how sometimes that can be taken to extremes, to the point where women start feeling like they are responsible for the hearts, the wayward hearts of the people around them. But at the same time, we also do understand I am my brother's keeper at the same time. How do we have these conversations in a safe space?
To create a safe space for honest conversation about sexuality, church can foster open dialogue by establishing clear guidelines and promote emphasis and understanding. And this includes actively listening to diverse perspectives, offering support to those who share their experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So it's about sharing experiences, sharing testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By fostering open dialogue, it means they should encourage vulnerability, create an environment where individuals feel safe to share their experience and struggle within fear, without fear of judgment and condemnation. Listen actively by practicing listen, by practice, active listening, showing guidelines, genuine care and understanding for the speaker's perspective, even if it differs from your own.
Yeah.
You should also use affirming language. We should employ inclusive and affirming language that acknowledges the diversity of human experience and relationship. We should, as a church, should address theological questions, engage with the biblical and the theological perspective on sexuality in a way that is both honest and compassionate, and acknowledging different interpretations.
Mm.
And again, as the church, should be mindful of language. Recognize that words can cause harm and take responsibility for how your words are received.
Mm.
So as a church, we should also, on establishing the guidelines, as the church, we should develop a ground rules, that is, establish clear guidelines for respectful dialogue, such as I've already said, active listening,
mm-hmm.
confidentiality, and avoiding personal attacks.
Right, right. Mm. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, my sister. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share on the subject?
I think this topic, it looks simple when we are discussing here, but
yeah,
really it's a cry for many people out there, the married couples. Women are not open enough. Sometimes they're even afraid. So as the church, the church as a whole, we should take a big blow. As we are talking of family life lessons, whatever, please, let's have time, special time, to listen to such conversations, have time to listen to their grievances as the church members. Let's listen to their grievances. Some people, today marriages are breaking, they are breaking because the church, we are not open enough. Sometimes we behave holier than thou, thinking that if you talk of sex, maybe as married couple, if we have this conversation as a group, maybe I'll be seen as someone who is most sinful. Mm. But in the end, marriages are breaking apart.
Thank you so much for your words there, and thank you for the encouragement to be more open and to be honest and to have these conversations, creating safe spaces in our churches, in our communities, in our families, to be able to be open and vulnerable. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
May God bless you today.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.